I didn't realize that your pastor spoke Chinese. Would you like to translate for me? I'll preach in Chinese. I said, "Xie xie," and he said, "You're welcome." So he knows. He knows. You see a picture. Some of you have seen this picture already. Picture of our family. Some of you know us, have known us for years and years and years and years and years. Yes, I am that old. And that would mean you know you are that old too. But for those of you that don't know us, when we first went to Taiwan almost 30 years ago, we went with one son. He was not even, he was about a year old at that time. That's the boy on the left up there, Caleb. Caleb now lives in Los Angeles, where he is in marketing. He's a senior strategist. It's hard to believe. You call him senior when he's that young. And we have twin boys that were both born in Taiwan, Mark and Luke. Mark is living in Mishawaka. He's a graduate of Bethel College, and he works doing auditing for a firm that does a lot of nonprofit, helps nonprofit organizations. And they also do taxes, but Mark's not so much into the taxes. Luke lives in Columbus, Ohio. Luke is working for IBM now. They bought his company, and he's a graphic designer for them. Oh, I get to do this. Okay. And some of you already saw that. This is me. In Taiwan, people have a hard time remembering English names. So I came up with this, the word Don. And there's a Don right there, too. So the word Don, and that's what's on my belly there in that picture, the Chinese word for egg. Okay? So in Michigan one time, someone heard that, and they started calling me Brother Egg. And I developed this. I got really worried, though. You know, I shared this in a church in California, in San Francisco, at a Chinese church. And I told them that my name was Egg and all of that, and they just thought that was wonderful. And then after service, a fellow came up to me, and he says, "We want to invite you downstairs right now." And he got the sheepish look on his face, and he says, "We're going down there. We're going to eat eggs." I got worried, you know. I don't know. Today, I'd like to share with you some things from God's Word that you most likely know. There may be a few people that never thought about this, but if you've known Jesus Christ for some time, you know that God, when he looks at us, he looks at you, looks at me, he looks at the people of the world. He feels that we're all very special. I hope that you understand that. Now, if you know Chinese and you want to read along in the Chinese, this message has Chinese in it, okay? So you can follow that if you would prefer. We are special. Now, I know that in our society nowadays, this is a very common thing. People want to emphasize how special they all are. But this is coming from a different vantage point. This is coming from a different angle. It's coming from God. And when God says we're special, it means a lot more than when somebody else says we're special. But other people do say we're special. When you think of special, what do you think about? What kind of ideas do you have in your minds? Well, a lot of times when we talk about being special, we think about someone that's very bright, sharp as a tack, or intelligent, okay? We might think of them as being talented people, and I know that there are very talented people within this body of believers right here. You can do things I cannot do because of the talents that you were born with, that God's given you, and that you've developed. There are people here that are also very strong. I don't know. I met a young man in one church who is in a wheelchair. And he lifts weights, and he lifts more weight than he weighs, more weight than him and his wheelchair combined. He's strong. He's hoping to be a representative in the Olympics the Paralympics. He would really like to be a participant in that. People are able. I'm sure that's true of all of you. You're unique. Now, I have learned something, though, about people, and particularly about Southerners, Americans from the South. Is there anybody here from the Southern United States? Anybody? Well, I think this is the very first church I've been in that has no representatives from the South in it. But I've heard people from the South say, well, bless your heart. And Southerners have told me this, and in every church I've been in that I've mentioned this in, all of the Southerners in the congregation confirm the truth of this. Now, usually when we think of blessing, all of us want to be blessed, I believe. We think one thing of is health. The Chinese have a saying that, jian kang di yi, health is number one. You know, everybody wants to have a healthy life. And if you're blessed, you have a healthy life. That's what some people think. Or they have long life. You know, Chinese, when you reach, I think it's 70 years old, they have a special meal for you, a special birthday celebration. And they make noodles. But the noodles are really, really, really long. They represent your long life. So you ever see someone suck on a noodle and kind of whips it around? And can you imagine something that's 50? No, they're not 50 feet long, but they're really, really long. Suck on that thing, you know? You run out of breath. But we oftentimes want long life. It's sad when we want to die, and some people want to die sooner than God wants them to die. God wants us to have the kind of life, the fullness of life that he promised to us when we believe in Jesus Christ. And he wants to develop that within us. Some people, when they think of blessing, they think of wealth. Money, money. Chinese, lots of Chinese, most Chinese maybe, love money. And that's a real problem in our society. And they think when you're blessed, you have to have money. If you don't have money, you don't have what they would think is enough money, and usually that's in comparison to somebody else's money, they don't feel like they're blessed. It's interesting that they may go to play the lottery or do other forms of gambling or something in order to try to get that money. So the blessing would come from their own efforts rather than from outside. Or they talk about peace. And the Chinese really, really emphasize peace. But the peace the Chinese emphasize has two aspects of it. It's a ping an. Ping an is the kind of peace that's a settled soul. And then there's the he ping. He ping is the harmony within the family. So they think of those things as being part of the blessing. But when Southern people sometimes say, well, bless your heart, is this what they mean? I've been told by them that sometimes or many times when they say, well, bless your heart, they have a little word they put on the end of that in their minds. Well, bless your heart, dummy. It's true. When we think of special, what's going on? Would you say to the person next to you, you're special? Would you tell the person next to you, you're special? Now, some people, when they think of, they say that you're special, they have different meanings to special. Now, I want you to know from the very start, I am not talking about a disability that way. And Lance knows this, my sister-in-law, she's with the Lord now, but my sister-in-law had Down syndrome. She was special in God's eyes too. Not because she had a disability, but because she is a special person. Because God, well, we'll look at more of this in a moment. But special does, in the English language and in Chinese, also can mean other things. Well, you're really special. You're a little strange, you know that? Maybe they feel that you're not so intelligent. You're special. But God has a different attitude about it than the world does when he looks at us as special people. I'm going to read from 1 Peter 2, 1 to 12. And in a moment, I'm going to ask you to read a lot of scripture off of the screen. Okay? But if you would like to, I encourage you to do that. Turn to 1 Peter 2, 1 to 12. I'm a great fan of carrying your Bible to church, and I can prove it. You know who Red Green is? Yes. I was given this Bible right after I was saved. Became a born-again believer, a follower of Christ, back in 1973. And I've used this Bible ever since. It's been repaired several times, and it looks like this now. And I hope I have it to my dying days. Now, I'm going to be reading through it from a translation that this person bought me because they couldn't find the translation they wanted. It'll be a little bit unfamiliar to you, but I like it. First Peter 2, beginning of verse 1. Then away with all malice and deceit, away with all pretense and jealousy and recrimination of every kind. Like the newborn infants you are, you must crave for pure milk, spiritual milk, I mean, so that you may thrive upon it to your soul's health. Surely you have tasted that the Lord is good. So, come to him, our living stone, the stone rejected by men, but choice and precious in the sight of God. Come and let yourselves be built as living stones into a spiritual temple. Become a holy priesthood to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands written, I lay in Zion a choice cornerstone of great worth. The man who has faith in it will not be put to shame. The great worth of which it speaks is for you who have faith. For those who have no faith, the stone which the builders rejected has become not only for the cornerstone, but also stone to trip over, a rock to stumble against. They fall when they disbelieve the word. Such was their appointed lot. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a dedicated nation, and a people claimed by God for his own, to proclaim the triumphs of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. You are now the people of God, who once were not his people. Outside his mercy once, you have now received his mercy. Dear friends, I beg you, as aliens in a foreign land, to abstain from the lusts of the flesh, which are at war with the soul. Let all your behavior be such as even pagans can recognize as good. And then, whereas they malign you as criminals now, they will come to see for themselves that you live good lives and will give glory to God on the day when he comes to hold assize. We who know Jesus Christ are a people claimed by God for his own. Anybody here have a dog or a cat? Okay. Any of you go to a shelter to get that animal? An animal shelter to get that animal. When you saw that animal, you claimed it to be your own. Why? You thought it was cute. You thought it looked like your brother. I don't know your reason, but you claimed it as your own. It's your pet. But when God claimed us as his own, it wasn't that way. He looks at it as a special, but he didn't do it because you've got dimples or something. He chose you because of some reasons, again, that we'll look at in a moment. Would you read this for me, please? Everybody together. Go ahead. There was a time for everybody in the world that you did not belong to him. You were not his. We forget that as believers sometimes. It feels like maybe we've been his forever. But there was a time that you became his by his. It was involved in our receiving, but it was also his choosing. His choosing us based upon our relationship with his son. Do you know? Are you certain that you belong to God? I hope you all do. And if you don't know that yet, before you leave today, you can know. You can become part of his family and one of his chosen ones. Would you go ahead and read this now? Go ahead. Now, I've already met some people in this room that have a very high education. You're classified by in the world's eyes as being intelligent. Okay, you're smart. Maybe you have a high IQ. It's interesting in Taiwan that when people went about sharing the gospel as a whole, not totally, but as a whole, they focused on the educated peoples of Taiwan. And much of the church in Taiwan is made up of educated people. And it is the lower, I don't like to use the word lower class. It is the more grassroots, let's use the term normal. Normal people, the blue collar people. They've been more resistant to the gospel. That is the opposite of many or most other countries. I understand the idea was way back then that you reach these smart people, these well-to-do people, and they will, quote, reach down to help them and bring them up. That has not happened. It may have been a mistake to go about sharing the gospel that way. My thoughts are you don't neglect anybody. But right now we are focusing on the, quote, normal people, the blue-collar people. I'm from that background. I would not look at myself as being exceptionally bright, and maybe you think that too. I can just hear you. Boy, he's special. Well, bless your heart. but it's interesting that God, in his word, tells us that he loves to choose normal people. Of course, all of us, in one sense, are very normal because we're all abnormal. We all need Jesus. We all have our own issues. We cannot be proud, because if we take a good look at ourselves, there's problems with us all. I remember a time when I did one of the most stupid things in my life. When in high school, I said to a musician, a fellow musician, he says, when you're as good as me, then you can say something to me. That was arrogant. That was stupid of me to say that. But I felt that way back then. Maybe you feel that way about others in some ways too. You're smarter than they are. God humbled me. And God, I guarantee you, if you have that attitude, he will humble you to give you an opportunity to understand his goodness. But all over the world, God is choosing people, the normal people like us, to become his followers, to be transformed and made new. I hope you know him. Why does he do it the way he does it? Could you read this? That no one should glory in his presence. Go ahead, keep reading. So no one can stand before God and say that they're more special than anybody else, that they deserve to have a relationship with God. All of us are equal in that sense. We are equal. How do you like that word? When was the last time you said glorieth? You know, I understand there was a person that went to Taiwan. He wanted to learn Chinese, and he was a very spiritual person. I'm being facetious. And he says, I'm going to learn Chinese by using the Bible. So like here, you know, we have the King James Version, which God has used greatly over many, many years. Our main version of the Bible is kind of like that in its language. It's old Chinese. And people just love it because that's what they're used to. But when he studied, his Chinese became affected by that, and someone came to him to ask him for directions to get someplace, go someplace. And he answered, He said, verily, verily, I say unto you, go straight and then turn left. They don't talk like that. So the person looked at him, you know, okay. I would encourage you, even if you use the King James Version, to learn how to speak, I say this any version, to learn how to share the truths of the Scripture in ways that people can understand. We were told at one point that if we cannot explain so people can understand, of course the Holy Spirit has to change people's minds too, but if we can't or unable to explain those things in terms people understand, there's a good possibility we don't understand it ourselves. So we have to learn to do that in Taiwan too. Why is it that God has done things this way? So that all the glory will go to Him. But why is it that we're special also? Okay, let's look at it. Historically, we look at it from creation. All of us in this room, according to God, says that we come from one person. Even the second person came from that person. Okay. Although it's in a different way that we come from our parents. But we all come from the same family, the same couple. No matter what we look like, no matter what our skin tone is, anything, we are all related. Say to the person next to you, depending on their gender, and I'm using the biblical understanding of gender here, okay? Look at that person and say, hi, brother, or hi, sister. Okay? We are related, you know. I've often wondered if I ever needed a heart transplant, if a Chinese person's heart matched mine, if I would be able to speak Chinese better if I got their heart. I don't know. But we are related. I am convinced, I believe it's fact, I know it's fact, that we are all the same color. We are different shades of the same color. Prove me wrong. If you don't believe that, prove me wrong. I dare you. Okay? We're all shades of the same color. We are all part of the same family that God created. And God looks at us all very special because He created us. We're special because of Christ. He thought we were so special that He sent Jesus Christ for all of us in this entire world even the people of the country that the United States may despise the most. I don't know what that country is, but those people, Jesus died for them too, all of us. None of us deserve to receive the gospel in ourselves, but we deserve to receive the gospel because Jesus did this for us all. So everybody needs to have an opportunity to hear. We're also special because of the church. God thought so much of us that he created the church, the body of Christ, to put us together. We all show the glory of God in the way we were made, but somehow this group of people represents the body of Christ, the glory of God, in a way no other part of the body does. People can see Jesus in a different way when they look at the church over what they can see in one person. They're both is important. But because of the gifts of God that he's given you, because of putting you together the way he has, you have a function that brings God glory unlike other parts. I don't know if you're a liver. I don't know if you're a heart, if you're a blood vein. I don't know. But God has made you to do something special and to be something special in this place and to affect the entire globe in a way that others cannot. And as you work together with the other parts of the body of Christ, and God gave you the Holy Spirit, when you became a follower of Jesus, you became born again. If you do not have the Holy Spirit, you do not belong to him, according to Romans. But you, because of Jesus' Spirit in you, are special. Now, how special? Anybody in your house call you honey or baby or sweetheart or something? Rachel and I are both from German backgrounds. We don't have a whole lot of this that goes on. But I was on tour one time, I went to a Filipino home on tour. A tour is what I'm doing right now. This year, so I'm going around. Some people say you're like a rock star. No. But I stayed at the Filipino person's home, brother and sister's home, and the man says to me, "This is my wife, baby. You can call her baby." I just stared at him. I said, "I'm not going to call her baby." I didn't tell him this. I said, "I'm not going to call her baby. Man, that would make me feel really uncomfortable. Hey, baby." I'll call her, "Hey, you," or something, but I'm not going to call her baby. But when God thinks of you, he has these kind of heart feelings for you. You're special. You're precious. And it's not Gollum's kind of precious, you know, color precious. But it's heartfelt love for you. You're precious, baby. I didn't look at any of you when I said that. Don't get any ideas. He has those endearing kinds of thoughts for each of us. And he has enduring kind of names that go on for eternity too. Things like being a newborn infant. He looks at you as an infant. Most parents, I know there's an occasional one that doesn't feel things for their children. But most of the time when you see a baby, you know, you get all, ooh, goochie, goochie, goo, and all that kind of stuff. But most of us like babies until they start crying or something. But when God looks at us, he also feels those kind of emotions. You know, you're my child. I really like you. I may not like what you do, but I really like you. Now, he has other kinds of terms for us, too, that may be a little bit harder to understand. And I'm going to leave a lot of this for your pastor to explain to you. But I was up in Montana where they have a lot of agates, and I went into a shop where they cut them, and they make them really pretty, look pretty. They're already pretty, but they know how to set them up in stands and things, and they're beautiful. And God looks at us as being attractive like that. Some of you had rock polishers maybe when you were younger, and or you like to buy those different kinds of gemstones and put them in water, and they have different colors and that. But God, things were pretty sharp that way. And God's forming us all into what the Bible says is a living temple of where he abides, where he dwells. I talked to someone recently that said they're still working on their home. They bought their home, and they're building inside of it. They're changing things inside of it, and it's constantly changing. And it was supposed to have been done 15 years ago, but it's not done yet, and his wife is a little upset and all that. But it's a little bit like that with us. God's got his home, his spiritual temple, but he's still working on it and making it glorious. He also says we're a chosen race. Now, a lot of people, from observations from Taiwan, looking at the news, looking back, they're really pushing their race. Different sides. Being up in Montana just recently, North Dakota, there's a lot of Native American reservations. And we heard about it up there too. But God says, we together as a body, and everybody that comes into the kingdom is chosen race. All of us together, no matter how different we think we are, we're his chosen race. Because he makes us also a royal priesthood to represent others to God before God and represent God before others. And we're actually, because of him, made holy a people. And the next one I really like, we're aliens. I want to let you in on a secret. I am an alien. Me and E.T. are buds. I have in my wallet, and if you want to see it afterwards, I'll show you. I have a card that declares me to be an alien. I am a card-carrying alien. What was it, Men in Black, you know? But the Bible says that we're all aliens, that we know Jesus because our kingdom, our country is not of this world. We belong to the kingdom of heaven. We're part of the family of God. And God wants people all over the world to be part of that same family. God welcomes us as his aliens because we're part of his country. We belong to it. And people that are not part of his country do not have the rights of his country. We're pilgrims too. If you've never read the book Pilgrim's Progress, I encourage you to do that. Just off the wall thing here. You know the guy that played one of the Jedi in Star Wars? He played Evangelist in an old version of Pilgrim's Progress. But we are journeying in this world. We are on an adventure in Christ. I'd love to talk more about that. But the fact is that we belong to God. Why? Why? This is the key, one key thing here. To proclaim the triumphs of his grace. What triumphs have you seen in your life? Have you? Sometimes we have triumphs, but we don't recognize them. We may need somebody else to remind us of those. But we should be able to point out some things that God's done in our lives. There's personal changes that have occurred. Jung Yi, on the left there, had been a policeman. He's retired now. Zhang Yi also liked to gamble. Zhang Yi had some bad backgrounds. He became a follower of Jesus Christ. His wife, Ting Jun, had an alcohol problem. And she came to follow Jesus Christ. They are both the first Christians in their homes. And God changed them. Both of them now go into the public schools and they share biblical principles with children in the schools. Jung Yi leads service sometimes at our church. He also helps with Sunday school. God changed them. Triumphs. As God took them from one kingdom, one family, and put them in another family. The kingdom of Satan, the family of Satan, into the kingdom of God. What about you? What triumphs have you seen in your life? Other people in the church know about them? Personal life changes. Ajahn is our only Hakka lady in our church. Hakkas are another segment of Chinese. They have their own subcultures. They have their own language. Ajahn has a difficult life. Her husband, her father-in-law and her husband both had diabetes. She took care of these two men until they died. Her husband became blind. He had his feet were amputated and so on. It was after that, and associated with our church, that she became a follower of Jesus. Ajahn, everybody knows she's a Christian. She walks around, Zan Meiju, Gan Xieju, all over the place, which is praise the Lord, thank the Lord. Even so much so that now even non-believers copy her when they're around her. They don't know what they're saying probably, or they're mocking her sometimes. But I believe God will use that in their lives. She loves to help people that are in hospitals or have other issues in their homes because God has changed her. She used to have a very loud voice, and her neighbor across the street came over to her one time and says, Hudson, I don't hear you anymore. What triumphs have you seen in your lives? The couple here, both had been divorced. Neither of them wanted their divorce. They tried to save their marriages. Their spouses wouldn't have it, or their family members, their in-laws, wouldn't have it. They both became very depressed. They both ended up on medicine. Then they became followers of Jesus Christ. They met each other, and they fell in love and wanted to be married. He is from a town about a village about 6 miles or so from us, right on the shore where they raised the oysters like you saw in the video. We believe that they were the first Christian couple to be married there in that location in over 400 years. Now they serve in the church, leading music, helping with Sunday school, doing other things. Chong Yu, his wife, goes to a Bible school to get classes just so she can learn more about the Bible and how to be a better follower of Jesus. What triumphs have you seen in your life, special person? Feng Yi is the Chinese gal that works on our team, and Rachel and myself. We all have our stories too. And God changed our lives and sent us to Taiwan. These are some of the people that are part of the church that you've helped start. There are about 32 of us that meet now in that location. And when we got there, there was no one. No one. By the way, thank you. Thank you for the support. Thank you for helping us to be in Taiwan for this long, for praying for us and giving. What triumphs have you seen? This is our intern. He's at our Bible school in Taipei. He was a drug addict for 17 years, I think. 17 years? 14 years? The word on the board is for drugs. And he was sharing his testimony here about how God got a hold of him and changed him. We're wondering if he should be our pastor. Please pray about that for us. He has been changed by God, a triumph of God's work. What triumphs have you seen? And to whom do you proclaim what God has done? You have people you do that with? I'm not talking about being a pest. I'm talking about naturally sharing with them what good things God is doing and has done in your life. We're doing it in Taiwan. We're teaching our people to do it in Taiwan. I believe that you are all special people, chosen by God to show his triumphs, just like these people. Would you read that, please? If you're like most people, you have coworkers, friends, I hope you have friends that don't know Jesus. You have family members that look at you also as special. But their thinking is more like the dummy. Why do you believe that stuff? People that may give you a very difficult time, that even maybe don't really like you so much because of your stand, because of your faith. This verse tells us that even in those situations, as we live out our faith, as we live out the gospel and our relationship with Christ, they will at some point, maybe in this life, hopefully in this life, maybe it's going to have to be later, but they will recognize that difference is a good thing. And they will want it also. Do not give up. One of the things I've learned is the person that seems the farthest away from Jesus may actually, in reality, be the very closest. Paul, the apostle, there's movie about him right now. Go see it. I haven't seen it, but go see it. He looked so far away from Christ that when he believed, the church couldn't believe it at the beginning. But God loved him because he was special in his eyes too. And those people in your lives that are pains in the neck, God loves. And he can use you and will use you if you're willing to be used. We have those people in Taiwan too. But do you know Jesus? To all who received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God. If you don't know him, I'll just tell you what we tell the Chinese people. Just talk to him. Well, I don't know how to pray. I don't know how to speak English. Your God only knows English. No, that's not true. God knows any language. So if you have a different mother tongue, use that. Use your heart language. But just talk to him, and he understands anything that you're saying. He understands your heart. And I guarantee you, you tell him your needs, you tell him that you want him, you need him, he will accept you. If you need help, you can talk to Pastor Lance. You can talk to your worship leader. You can talk to other people that you recognize in the body here that know Jesus. And if someone comes and asks you and shocks you that you've been asked, oh, because you've never shared before, just share with them what you know. Say a quick prayer and go ahead and share. Or say, let's go talk to somebody else. And grab them by the hand and go over and talk to them. And watch what God does in their lives. I need you to pray. I usually bring a snake to church, and I can't find him. I don't know if he's where he is. He's wooden. Okay, he's not real. But when we moved to where we were, where we are in Suhu, right across the street from us is a field. It's got tall grass. And we were told that there was a little boy about 8 years old, 9 years old. His father said, do not go into that field and play. Well, the child disappeared and didn't come home that night. They went looking for him. They found him in the field. He had been bitten by a cobra. We have cobras in Taiwan. And because he was afraid of his father, afraid because he had disobeyed, he didn't go, and he died. He didn't have to die because Taiwan is used to this situation and has serum to take care of people. Do not be afraid to go to God, who has told you not to do those things. He knows you didn't do them, but he wants you to come, and he will forgive you, and Jesus is the remedy for our sins. And if you're a follower of Jesus Christ and you've messed up and done something wrong and even evil, you can repent too. Go to the Father, and he will help you. Now, the things that I've shared today, you know, there's two kinds of eggs. There's good eggs, and there's, you ever smell a bad egg? Rachel had a duck's egg, and she went to crack it open and exploded in the house. It smelled bad. So, whoever preaches, whoever shares from the Word, no matter if it's in this context or some other context, you have a responsibility to decide whether that person, what they shared and who they are, whether they're a good egg or a bad egg. And you have that responsibility today. Will you look at yourself as being special in God's eyes? But will you also look at all people of the world as being special and important to God? And what will you do with that knowledge? Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your choosing us to be yours. Thank you so much that you're coming back. Jesus, you're sending Jesus to come back again, to gather us to yourself, that where you are, we may be also. Lord, there's a whole lot of people that still need you in Fort Wayne, people that surround this church building, people that surround our homes, where we live, where we go to school. They need you. You want them. Help us to love others as you love us. Thank you that you love the people of Taiwan. May they become people who love like you do too. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.